Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted again that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God and that we have an opportunity to grow in the faith of God. We hope that while you're isolated at home, that you are taking time to study and building yourself up in the most holy faith, to know more about God and to know God better through the Word and through our prayer life. And we want you to know that we're thinking of each of you and you're in our hearts and we've been praying for you and we long for the day that we can be back together. We are mindful of those who are sick. You've been in our hearts and in our thoughts and prayers. And we want everyone to know that we ask that you continue to pray for the elders that are during this occasion. If you have any spiritual need, as we've said before, we say again, you contact us. We'll be glad to assist you with anything, including being put into Christ, putting on Christ in baptism. Anytime, day or night, you can call me. You can call Brother Guy or one of the elders. We'd be glad to assist you. At this time, if you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is penning a letter to the church at Corinth, and he makes a statement in verse 6. In verse 6, the divine word said, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If you have your Bible, you may underscore that statement, "in the face of Jesus Christ." From the pen of the beloved Paul, we have a glimpse of the face of Jesus. And if you take your Bible, I want you to note that Paul is telling all that Jesus is the very image of God. In that passage, he's saying that we have a picture of God. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to the book of John and the 14th chapter. And in John 14, you remember that Jesus says, as he is talking to Philip in about verse 9, he says, "Philip, have I been with you so long and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." You remember that God is the Father is in heaven and God the Son came to earth. And he put on robes of flesh and lived as a man, though he is God. And then you have God the Spirit. And at this particular time, as we make a study, I want us to think about, in the Bible, the different expressions we can see upon the face of Jesus. I want us to look at the face of Jesus, deity in the flesh, and notice some different expressions, and then make application, and the lesson will be yours. The first expression I want to put into my heart, in your heart, comes from the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter. In the book of Matthew and the 17th chapter, you'll find on this occasion that Jesus had gone up on a mountain and he took with him Peter, James, and John. And as they are there, you remember that Moses and Elijah appeared and it says in verse 2 that Jesus was transfigured before them. And then if you note, the Bible says, "His face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light." Notice the Bible said, "His face shone as the sun." I've tried to picture in my mind being there with Peter, James, and John and to see the face of Jesus begin to shine as bright as the sun. Then you remember that Peter said, "It's good that we're here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But then you'll recall that there was a great cloud, a bright cloud that overshadowed them in verse 5. And the voice came out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." When I hear that verse in the book of Matthew in the 17th chapter, I recognize one thing, that Jesus is the one who's been given all authority. We're not under the law of Moses. We're not listening to Elijah's prophecy anymore as far as that being binding. Because Moses' law and the prophecy of Elijah all pointed to Christ. And Christ today is the one who has all authority. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." So Jesus has all authority. When I study the Old Testament, it's pointing me to Jesus, the one who is King Most High. And I want us to see the shining face of Jesus and see that expression because that shows us the authority of Christ. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think about in the book of Matthew and the 23rd chapter, a second expression. And we'll see different reasons why Jesus had this expression. But notice that Jesus in Matthew 23 had what we might identify as a sad expression. In Matthew 23, notice that Jesus is overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And as he overlooks the city, he knows what's going to happen to that city in 70 AD. But as he looks at the people, his heart is broken, and we see a sad face. Look at what he says in verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Underscore, you were not willing. Jesus said it was my will to gather you together, but you would not be one to come to me. You were not willing. It wasn't your will. And thus they rejected him as the Savior, and thus you see the sad face of Jesus. But then if you take your Bible, notice again when Jesus would have a sad face. In the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter, the prophet of God, prophesying about Jesus, said in verse 3, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Look at that. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Now, Jesus was sad over many things. One, we've already established, when he looked at the Jews who rejected him. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, you'll find that Jesus would be sad because of the wrong choices people make in life. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus talks about the broad and narrow way. And Jesus said that there are many who go the broad way that leads to destruction. And no doubt the heart of Jesus is cut, and the face of Jesus is sad because that expression shows how he feels about those who reject him. It hurts the Son of God to see so many people willfully and deliberately go contrary to his will, who do not take into consideration where they're going to eternal destruction. And then he contrasts that with the few in verse 14 who go the narrow way that leads to eternal life. And he says it's a difficult way, but he says it's worth it. And I'll tell you something, my friend, no doubt the face of Jesus is sad when he looks down and he sees the millions who reject him and the few who follow him. No doubt he rejoices that there are some who follow him, and yet, my friend, it hurts to see so many go the other way. But then I'll tell you there's another reason the face of Jesus is sad. And that is, my friend, because people often measure themselves by their own standard and not by the Word of God. In Luke 18, you'll remember that there was a Pharisee who went to pray. And as he's praying in the temple, there's a publican next to him. And the Pharisee begins to say, I'm thankful, Lord, I'm not like that man. I tithe, I give, I do good works. And here was a man who was measuring himself by someone else. He was measuring himself by his own standard. He was justifying himself, and he walked out of the temple not even justified with God. He did not see his own sin because he was measuring himself by himself. But there was the publican who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, who beat his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he left justified. Have you ever thought about those who are self-righteous, those who do not see their need for Christ, how that hurts the Son of the living God? And it was not a sad heart with evil deeds, but sadness that came from a sinless heart that hurt Jesus when he looked out and saw the sins of others. You see, the pure Son of God who loved man and who's hurt because he is rejected by man. But that brings up the third thing. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 9th chapter. And we've seen two expressions thus far, the shining face that shows the authority of Christ, and then we've seen the face of sadness where men have, by their choices, have rejected God. But in Luke, notice again in the Bible chapter 9 that when Jesus is going towards Jerusalem, the Bible talks about the face of Christ. Look carefully in Luke chapter 9 in verse 51. It says, Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, the face was set to go to Jerusalem. Why? He was going there to die. He knew why he was going there. He was going there to offer up his life as a sacrifice for man. take your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 16th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 16th chapter, notice, if you will, beginning at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Notice that. Must. He had to go. Why? It was the will of the Father. And suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. I want you to see the face of Jesus deliberately set to go to the cross. Here is a face that said, I'm going to obey God, and it was a determined face. It was a face that said, I will do the will of my Father, even at great cost to self. It was a face that would not turn away from the terrible cross. Have you ever thought about how determined he was to do the will of the Father? He set his face towards the cross. So thus far, I've looked at three expressions. I've seen the shining face, I've seen the sad face, and I've noticed the set face. But let's look again and notice another expression. And this more of what they did to Jesus than really expression. I want you to look at the stained face of Christ. When you look at the face of Christ, you'll see it was stained by at least three things. First of all, you'll see that Jesus' face was stained with tears. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 11th chapter, when he came to the grave of Lazarus, it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. There we see the deity and humanity together. Jesus knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet at the tomb of Lazarus, we see Jesus weeping. I've often thought about the tears that he shed. I thought about the tears that he shed over the condition of others' hearts. I thought about the tears that he shed while in the garden. And you'll see that Jesus' face was stained with tears in life. Tears of sorrow. Tears of pain. Tears of grief. But then not only do you see his face stained with tears, I'll tell you, you see his face stained with sweat. Open your Bible to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 44, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, and being in agony. Notice, he's already agonizing. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you see his face stained with sweat as he prayed in the garden as blood drops? Then I want you to think about, my friend, his face was stained from spit. Open your Bible to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter. And when you come to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter, you remember how they treated Jesus? It says in the book of Mark in the 15th chapter in verse 19 that they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him and bowed the knee. They worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took purple off from him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. Oh, can you imagine when they spit in the face of the Son of God? Can you picture those people with such disdain to spit in the face of the one who was sinless? You remember what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, in about verse 6, you remember the writer of God said, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheek to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Oh, I'll tell you something. When you look at the Son of God, you see Him enduring that. You see Him enduring people just lining up and spitting in His face. And you see the shame He endured. I want you to see that's love for the soul of man. But then I want you to think about that face stained with blood, where the blood trickled down from the crown of thorns, and where the blood would have went, where they pulled out the hair from His beard, as we just read. Just picture that face on the cross, stained with blood. So when I look at the face of Christ and I see what man did, I see that man stained his face with blood. But then I think about something else. I think about that face that was smitten, that face that was beaten. How many times did they strike the face of God? And when you read, like we read in Isaiah 50 in verse 6, he did not turn his cheek. He said, I gave my back to those who struck me. And he said, I let them beat. I let him. I did not hide my face from him. In Isaiah 53, again in verse 4, look at what it says. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Notice at this time that face that had been struck. And you can read Matthew 26 and Luke 22 and John 19. And you just read where they lined up and they beat the face of the Son of God. I don't know if I've ever preached on that or touched the hem of the garment to when they smote the face of the Christ, where they took their hands and they beat the one who was sinless. But then I want you to think about the fact that they took that body down off the cross. Have you ever thought about what that shrouded, cold face must have looked like? When they came to take the body down, here's the face of Jesus, and here is Jesus that had been upon the cross. And the Bible says in Matthew 27, they came to take the body down. Have you ever looked at someone after they died, how the face is? But can you imagine what the face of the Son of God looked like after he'd been beaten, after he'd been mistreated, after the blood had poured forth from his scalp? What that face must have looked like when they took the body off the cross. It's unbelievable how cold the face comes as one breathes their last breath. And I'm sure they felt the sting of the face. The face that they eventually laid in cloth, wrapped in cloth, and laid in the tomb. But I'll tell you something, there's one other thing we must never forget, an expression, and that was that he had a seen face. That face that was laid in the tomb, that body that was laid in the tomb, did not stay there. They would see the face again. He was raised from the dead. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 20th chapter. And in John chapter 20, you remember that they came in verse 7 and they saw the tomb was empty. And it says the handkerchief that had been around his head was not lined with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. That thing that had covered the face, that cloth that was there, is now removed. And notice when you drop down, you see Mary Magdalene. She turns and sees Jesus. That's the face of the resurrected Christ. And you'll remember the disciples in John 20 and 20 saw him. And in John 20, 29, Thomas, who wasn't there when he first was raised, saw him. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 8, Paul saw him. And he said 500 at one time saw him. I'll tell you, that face that was shrouded and laid in the tomb, it was raised from the dead and seen by many because he did not stay in the grave. I want to take that. I want to make three or four lessons in the lesson journey. I wonder today how often we make the face of Christ sad by the life that we live, by not hearing and heeding His Word. Oh, I would that I would not be one to cut to His heart. I know how often I sin and how often I disappoint, but I'm thankful that He's willing to forgive me when I turn back to Him. But secondly, do you see His authority? Do you recognize that He is the King Most High and one day we're going to stand before Him in judgment? I would that I could get into the hearts of men and women that the face of Jesus is the face that has all authority. But there's a third thing I wish I could get into people's minds. That stained face with tears spit blood. Have you ever looked upon the face of Christ and thought about that face, what it must have looked like when it came off the cross? And you know, my friend, if I could get that picture in your mind, if I had the ability to get that picture in your heart, then, my friend, you wouldn't quibble about obeying the gospel. You'd say, Lord, you speak and I'll obey. Because you see the price He paid for your sin. And then I'll tell you, one day you're going to see that face. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter in the first chapter. And I'll tell you something, when I read Revelation chapter 1, and I think about what is said in verse 7, He said, Behold, He's coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. One day, we're going to be called up into His presence. But if you're His child, have you ever thought about the joy of seeing that face? Have you ever thought about the joy of being with God forever? The joy of looking upon the Lamb of God who died for your sin, to see the face of the one who loved you so much, and to know that because of the price He paid on Calvary and my obedience to His Word, I've been adopted into His family and I have the joy of fellowship with Him. If I could just get people to see that picture, they wouldn't quibble about obeying the Lord. They wouldn't quibble about worshiping the Lord. They would see the joy of giving glory to the One who died for them. Do you see the face of Jesus? Let us pray. Almighty God, as we look to You by faith, we're so thankful that You sent Your Son and that we have a picture of His face in the Word. And though we've never seen it with our naked eye, by faith we see His face before us. The face that has all authority. The face that was set to go to die for us. The face that was sad because of all that He saw. And the face that was smitten on our behalf. And yet the face that was seen because the grave could not hold Him, because by Your power He was raised. We're so thankful, Father, we serve a risen Savior. We pray that our faith grows each day and we long for the day that we may see His face and that we are with Him forever. We long for the day that, Father, that all God's people are in eternity together. Help us, Father, prepare our lives and live our lives so when our time comes, we'll be ready to see Jesus. It's in His name we pray.